The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So at this time, we officially welcome all of our platform audiences from podcast to Rumble to YouTube to Facebook Live and so on and so forth. Again, you're listening to End Time Headlines. And today, I want to talk about the battle for the intimacy in the secret place, the battle for intimacy in the secret place. This is going to be a very interesting message, guys, but I believe this is essential. This is the thing that God has really been tugging in my heart with, and I'll be honest with you, I believe this right here, this topic of what we're talking about today, is something that many, many believers, if they were to be honest and truthful, this is the thing, this is the tug of war battle that every one of us deal with all the time. James chapter 4, verse 8 is going to be our foundational scripture today. James chapter 4, verse 8. Listen what it says. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Again, I'm going to read that again. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, all you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, this is James chapter 4, verse 8. I love this scripture because he tells you there's a cause and effect going here. And now you say, what do you mean by cause and effect here? Listen, every time in my walk with God, when I have begun to feel wayward, when I began to feel not as on fire, when I feel like I was distant from God, every time when I did a personal reflection, when I did a personal examination, inevitably every time, not most of the time, not some of the time, every time, it's because somebody, listen to me, guys, somebody moved from the place of intimate devotion. Who moved? Was it me or was it God? The answer is me. God is always here. God is always present. He says, if we are willing to draw near to him, he is willing to draw near to us. I love this about this. So it doesn't matter how far away you are, how distant you are, how cold you feel, how indifferent you feel, how backslidden you are. If you truly press in and move forward and draw near to him in intimacy, he is going to meet you there in that secret place. Now, I'm going to pull up another scripture. This is a powerful scripture, and the beginning of this is a passage that everyone is familiar with. Everybody's familiar with this passage, but it's what's beyond that to the next verse is the part that I don't hardly ever hear anyone preach about, and you've got to put all these together. Ready? For I know the thoughts that I think. This is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Now listen, that's Jeremiah 29, 11. Those are wonderful promises. God's thoughts towards us are of peace, not of evil. His thoughts are to give us a future and a hope. Come on, how many believes that's a wonderful promise? Peace, a future, and a hope. But watch this. But look at Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I'll come on. I love this. He's, listen, he didn't say, if you'll call upon me and if you'll go and pray to me, I might show up. I might listen to you. I might not be too busy for you. I might fit you in on my schedule and put you in. No, he said, if you will actively, persistently open your mouth and call upon me, and you will put legs to your faith, and you will make a point to go to a place of prayer, and you will speak to me and communicate with me and commune to me. He says, I will be there and listen to you. Listen to this. Listen to the next part. And you will seek me and you will find me. Listen. When you search for me with all of your heart, not partial of your heart, not on your terms, but he says, God's telling us here, guys, that if we'll get serious and we are willing to fight in the place of intimacy, of prayer, God is not only going to be in the trenches with us, but he's going to reward us in our devotional, in our intimate place of devotion. This is so powerful to me. And you say, why is this so powerful? Because I'm telling you guys, you can get to a place where you're not as on fire for God as you used to be. Come on, am I preaching to myself today? Or is there anybody out there listening by podcast or watching by Facebook or watching by YouTube or by Rumble that can, that can testify today and understand what I'm trying to tell you today? Because I know every one of you, because I have the same flesh and blood. And there is a time and there is a season and there will be a place where we are not as on fire as we used to be. We call it lukewarm. We call it apathetical. We call it complacency. Where you're not completely backslidden, but you know you're not where you should be. And you're not completely sold out. And you're not completely blazing. And not completely on fire for him. So the enemy will begin to mess with your mind and tell you that you've messed up. You don't have a chance. You might as well throw in the towel. You might as well give up because God's not here. That's why you can't feel him. That's why he's not listening to you. Come on. He'll tell you all these lies, but I'm trying to tell you guys, we don't base our salvation. We don't base these things based on our emotion and how we feel. Listen, if I gauged whether or not I was saved on my emotion, then I'm going to tell you something. There would be days that I know I'm saved, but then there'd be other days where I would question whether or not I'm truly saved or not. But I know based on the word of God that is unchangeable. It does not sway. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of the word shall pass until all things be fulfilled. It's a more sure word of prophecy. And this is why we have to go back to the word. And if his word says that he said, if I will draw near to him, he'll draw near to me. He says that if I will seek him, then he would find me. If I would search for him with all of my heart, then he would be found. He said, I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. But listen to me, there is going to be a battle for this place of intimacy. Let me go back to James chapter 4. Notice he says right after draw near to God and he would draw near to us, he says that there's a requirement. Cleanse your hands, all you sinners. Purify your hearts and your double-mindedness. Listen, so we enter into his presence. When we get to a place where we get to a place where we say, I'm not gonna wait until a convenient time. I am going to shut everything off. I'm going to shut off my phone, shut off social media. I'm going to go in my, come on, listen what he says in Matthew 6. Matthew 6. I don't have this scripture to pull up to you, so I'm going to read it to you. Matthew chapter 6. Listen what Jesus said about prayer. He said, and when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, you will not be like the, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love praying in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. And surely I say to you, they have their reward. Listen to what he says. But you, when you pray, he said, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. Come on, you want to find him? He's not in the public place. He's in the secret place. Oh, I'm going to say it again. We're trying to find God in all the public venues, but he's in the secret place. He's in the place nobody else is at. He's in the place where you got to shut everything off and focus. God doesn't want you to pencil him in your busy schedule. He's saying, look, if you want me, I'm in the secret place. I'm on the other side of the door. I'm in the prayer closet. I'm in the devotional intimacy. I'm here. I'm waiting. And there is a blessing if you're willing to come in to this place, come on, of intimacy with me. Notice again in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. They're of good to give you a future, to give you a hope, to give you an expected end. In other words, come on. He says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow with it. He said, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, and in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In other words, come on, we're always seeking the gift, but what would happen if we seek the giver? If we seek the giver, the gift is going to come naturally secondhand to it. Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen to what he says. Go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And I'm telling you, we see this, we read this, we hear this, but it is a consistent battle. Now look, I wrote some stuff down, and I've got to read this to you. Listen to me. Intimacy with God and his presence is something that you and I will have to fight for. If we are naive to believe that a welcoming committee is going to be waiting for us when we wake up every morning to usher us into his glory. We have a rude awakening coming if we have this mindset. What I have discovered is that every distraction, every excuse imaginable, and every assignment of hell that hell can unleash will be waiting and is assigned to keep us away from the secret place. Leonard Ravenhill said a couple things that I thought was profound. Leonard Ravenhill was an old, he's passed away, but he was an old revivalist that had, he had some profound revelation and was one of the most dynamic, powerful preachers that I have ever known, that I've ever read the accounts of and heard. You can go watch some of his old YouTube videos, but let me give you some quotes from Leonard Ravenhill. He said, quote, a man who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by man. Let me say that again. A man who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by men. Listen, you're intimidated by man. You're swayed by the opinions of man. You fear what people will think. That tells me and that testifies to everyone that you have not been spending time with God. Because the more time you spend with God, the closer you get to him, and the more you're in his presence, you will not be swayed, you will not be moved, and you will not be moved out of the place of position by the opinions of man. Here's the key. If we spend more time trying to get the approval of heaven than we did the approval of man, come on, we would be making making far more strides in this life in the pursuit of the kingdom. So are you more occupied with getting the opinions of man or the opinions of heaven? I would rather be getting the opinions of heaven and the opinions of God Almighty than I would rather your opinion or their opinion or anyone else's opinion. Let me give you another quote from Leonard Ravenhill. Prayer is not an argument with God to persuade him to move things our way, but an exercise by which we are enabled by his spirit to move ourselves his way. Oh, this is so deep. In other words, did you know that most of the battles, and I can prove this from the book of James. Most of the stuff that we struggle with is from the lust of our own flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The cares of this life. The worries and the opinions of other people. In other words, this is what Ravenhill is saying. We don't enter into prayer and in our secret devotion time with God so that we can sway him to move things in our opinion and the way we want them to move. But when we get into his presence, we are humbled by his glory and humbled by his prayer that we are conformed, we are molded, and we are transformed into his image and to his likeness. And we come out of that place of devotion and we have now been aligned to and conformed to his will and his purpose for our lives. In other words, come on, notice Jonah, when God said, go to Nineveh, Jonah said, nope, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going near Nineveh. I am going in the opposite direction. So he wanted God to do things his way. And when God would not be moved or swayed by the opinion of Jonah or by his temper tantrum or his negativity, and Jonah decided to go in the opposite direction, God said, okay, fine. You want to do things your way? I'll just let a little bit of a storm come. I'll let a little bit of adversity come. I'll let a little bit of negativity come, and I'll shake up a little things a little bit different here. And notice, when it came to the point of desperation, that Jonah said, hey, you know what, God? I think I'll do things your way, because in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And in your presence, there is the plan that you have for me, and it's of good, and it's of a future, and it's to give me an expected end. See, oh, come on, somebody. What I'm trying to tell you is, listen, every single individual under the sound of my voice that's watching today or listening today, God has a plan for our lives. But I can show you in the book of Romans, chapter 8, where there is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Did you know that? There's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I can tell you, most people, are very few people are in the perfect will of God, but that's okay. We're in the good, and then there's the acceptable. We should strive and we should pursue the perfect will of God. But you know what? At the end of the day, if I'm in his good and acceptable will of God, then it's okay. But that's not the end game. Paul said, I had all these things. I had the position. I had the power. I had the recognition. I had the platform. I had the notoriety. I had all these things. He said, but I counted all as dung, but to know him. Come on. And the power of his resurrection. To be acquainted with him. And come on. To be crucified in him. And dead to the world, the cross before me and the world behind me. That's the Apostle Paul talking about that. Listen, I wrote this down. This is good. The enemy's strategy is not to remove you from the platform or even a microphone, but to remove you from the prayer closet. Listen, the enemy knows the power comes from the presence of the Lord, not your accolades, not your recognition, not notoriety, not social media influence. He's not threatened by your fame and recognition. He's threatened by your intimacy with your God. See, Hannah understood this. Listen, I'm going to say this one last thing, then I'm going to close with this segment today. Hannah was in a place where she was barren and she was not producing any fruit. She was not birthing anything. And so she got to a place of desperation. And she got to a place where she would begin to weep and she would begin to travail at the altar. And the Bible says that Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And Hannah was there in the presence of Eli and in the presence of the Lord. And in bitterness of soul, she prayed unto the Lord and wept in anguish. And she made a vow in her intercession and said, Lord, if you will allow me to birth this thing that I desire in my heart, I vow to you that I will dedicate it to you. I will honor you with it. I'll give you all the glory for it if you will do this thing for me. There was such desperation and of intimacy and such display of desperation and intimacy in Hannah's display of prayer that even the priests didn't even recognize what was going on and actually thought she was drunk. The Bible says that Eli watched her mouth, and Hannah got to a place where she spoke in her heart and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Come on. Have you ever been in a place that you were so broken in prayer and so broken in intimacy that you couldn't even articulate, you couldn't even form words, but instead it was groans and utterances, like the book of Romans chapter 8 says, that when the Spirit begins to, come on, yearn on the inside of us, when we know not what we ought to pray, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities. And come on, when I got saved and I got born again on June 2nd of 2000, I was so desperate, come on, to find this God that I heard about, this God that I read about, this God that I saw miracles through other people about, this God that I was raised up in as a little boy from my mother who raised me up in the ways of the Lord, but then later she backslid. So I had the seed of the word of the Lord in my heart. I was living in a place where I was being pulled to hell and pulled to heaven. I was in a place of the valley of decision, and the presence of the Lord was there. And I knew at that very moment that there was a God of heaven that was waiting for me. Come on. And I understood that if I would get up out of my pew that I was sitting in Shepherdsville, Kentucky on June 2nd, 2000, I was feeling him wooing me. I was feeling him drawing me. And he was telling me through his word, if you'll draw near unto me, I will meet you here. If you will search for me and seek for me with all of your heart, then I shall be found. And I understood that. And I ran to the altar and I fell on my knees. And I understand Hannah. I couldn't cry out. I couldn't articulate words. Why? Because I was so broken and travailed. I was so broken in his presence that I knew, come on, I know this is going to mess up some people's theology, because I didn't recite the ABCs of prayer. I didn't admit that I was a sinner, and I didn't believe this, and I didn't confess this, but I knew that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, and I knew that I had to come through him to receive eternal life. So I ran to the altar, and I was broken in travail, tears flowing down my heart, and I believed on him, but I opened my mouth, and nothing would come out of my mouth because I was in such deep travail. But I'm going to tell you something, the God God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ, met me there that day on that altar, and he transformed me. I was born again. I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. I came up off the altar about 30 minutes later from that encounter with God, and I was a new man. You say, how do you know, Brother Ricky, that you were a new man? I'm telling you, because when I came in that place, I was carrying a lot of weights on me. I was carrying some anguish. I was carrying pride. I was carrying selfishness. I was carrying hurts. I was carrying unforgiveness. I was carrying bitterness. I was carrying wounds. I was carrying all kinds of baggage with me. But when I got in his presence, he said, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you will take up my yoke upon you, which is light, which is easy, and which you will carry. I came up off that altar. People that knew me personally around me was with me that day. They looked into my eyes. They said, you look like a new person. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling you, there is a place in him, not in religion, not in a denomination, not in a church building in itself, not a program, and not in rules and regulations and theology and all this stuff. There's a place where there is a true encounter with the glory of God and his presence, where you will go in one way and be transformed and walk out of that same place, get around the same people that you used to run with, used to hang with, and everybody knew you, and they will look at you and say, what has happened to you? Because you look different, you act different, you talk different, come on, you smell different, you walk different, everything about you is different. And you are like Moses, who went up the mountain in his glory and came down, and the Shekinah glory of God's presence is shining off of your face. So that's why when you go to your workplace the next day, everybody is freaking out because they're like, something's different about you. Your family knows there's something different about you. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, listen, some of you are hungry for this right now. You're listening to this. You're watching this, and you've never encountered what I'm talking to you about. And you think this is just going to fall in your lap. You think that you're going to make three wishes and rub a genie bottle, and this is all going to happen. No, I'm telling you, there is a battle for the secret place. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I want to close with this. This is why I have a problem with the modern, contemporary, progressive, seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive church movement. And this is why it irks me so much, because I just read a piece. I read a piece from a Christian publication a couple of days ago, and they're now saying, listen to this, they're now saying that the average time that preaching needs to be done is in 15 minutes or less, because nobody can, it can no longer hold the attention of anybody's attention span. Well, listen, you can thank social media for that. You can thank YouTube short clips for that. You can thank TikTok for that. You can thank Instagram for that. You can thank all these social media outlets who they want to get their 5 minutes, 30 seconds, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes of fame. And us as believers, allowing the culture to conform us, and instead of us conforming the culture, we've allowed that to come into the church. And now we as Christians, listen, it's an indictment against us as believers. If we come into an assembly and a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled preacher gets up and he can't hold your attention more than 10 minutes, listen, don't be quick to blame the preacher, but just do a self-examination on yourself and say, have I conditioned myself for this because of all the time that I've invested in TikTok and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram? Because I'm going to tell you, listen, I may be on to something here, and I believe I'm right on this, because when you get into the presence of God, you'll get into a place of such glory of the presence of God, you won't be looking at your watch. You will lose track of time, and you'll think you've been in there 10 minutes, and you'll come out an hour later and say, my goodness, there's no way I've been in here an hour, because you're in his direct presence. You're in his glory. What am I trying to say? You say, what's this rant about, Brother Ricky? What are you talking about? Here's what I'm trying to say. If the church brought back the old time, I'm going to say it, I don't know how else to say this, the old time altar services like we used to have 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, where we would come to the altar, we'd have an encounter with him. We would give the people an opportunity to have an encounter with him. We wouldn't rush them. We wouldn't put a time frame on it. We wouldn't get the, listen, I've been to services where they get the ushers and they jerk people up off the altar right in the middle of prayer because they only had so much time that they could allow them to pray and seek God. You want to talk about quenching and grieving and vexing the Holy Ghost? When I saw that, I was so grieved. If I was grieved about that, I couldn't imagine what the Holy Spirit was feeling. When I used to have a brick and mortar church and I pastored the church and we'd have people come to the altar, I would tell people, don't touch them. If they're seeking God and they're alone and they're seeking the Lord, give them all the time they need. Don't go and be jerking them up off the altar. Don't be coming and rushing them. Come on, my friend. They're in the very presence of God. And I thank God that I didn't have anybody to jerk me out of the presence of God. Come on. 21 years ago, when I was being born again and encountering the presence of God, because if they would have jerked me out of the most holy place back into the outer court, I don't know if I would have had the same experience. Listen, if you don't take anything away from this message, get this point right here. Ready? If Hannah would have listened to Eli when he tried to discourage her from pressing in, pursuing the presence of God in desperation, if she would have listened to him and been swayed by his opinion, she would have never birthed her promise. Some of you, oh, come on. Some of you, God has given you promises. He's given you dreams and he's given you visions. And the only way that you and I'll include myself, the only way we are going to see those dreams, visions, and promises come to fruition is we're going to have to battle for that secret place. Because listen to me, every conception of every miracle, every breakthrough, every breakthrough, every miracle, every prayer, everything that we're ever believing God for, every conception of that happens in the secret place. That is where the conception takes place. Let me prove it to you again. Matthew 6, go into your secret place. Intimacy. Listen, I'm not trying to be crude, but let me talk to all the married folks here. God said, let the marriage bed be undefiled. You go into your secret place. The bedroom chambers is where intimacy takes place. That's where conception in the natural takes place. That's where procreation takes place, is in the secret place. But come on. But what is conceived in the secret place will be birthed in the open place or the public place. See, you don't have everybody come along and say, hey, come and watch the conception. Unless you're some kind of a weirdo, no one does that. But what you do is the miracle is conceived in birth, when the dream is conceived in birth, when the vision is birth, when the breakthrough is birth, when that thing in which you've been believing God for is birth, then you gather everybody around in the public place and they will come and they will celebrate with you because that which you have been believing for and that which you conceived for in the secret place has now been birthed in the public place, and there is rejoicing and there is celebration. But my friends, it is the battle of the in-between. The battle, there's the hell is trying to keep you out of the secret place, because he knows in the secret place is where the conception is going to take place. And I'm telling you, I'm going to close right here. I know I've said this three times, but I want to get everything out of me that I feel in my spirit. Guys, we're living in trying times right now. The economy is on the fringe. You're seeing all this crazy stuff with the virus. You're seeing stuff going on in the church. You're seeing stuff happening in marriages. You're seeing stuff happen in the family unit. You're seeing stuff happen in the country. Like all fires are burning everywhere. And I'm telling you, it is easy to be distracted, to be distraught, to be disappointed, to be discontent. It's easy to try to get your head above water and make it day by day. And all the while, I'm telling you, if you'll shut all that off and listen, you can hear that still small voice of the Lord saying, just turn off the phone for 30 minutes. Just turn off the television for 30 minutes. Just say no to that one thing for 30 minutes and come to the secret place. If you'll come and you'll just open your mouth and you'll start talking to me and you'll start praying to me, then I'm going to be there to meet you. Man, I feel right now, just right when we're closing this, I'm feeling the glory of God. I'm feeling the presence of God coming down. I feel like I almost want to weep. And I feel like this is falling on some people right now. I know this is a little weird. Listen, I don't make apologies about it. This is how we roll. I am spirit-filled and spirit-led. I don't care if this is weird to you or if it's awkward to you. I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Some of you watching this today, some of you are listening today, you got tears swelling up in your eyes and tears are coming down some of your face right now. And here's why. Because it's been so long since you've been in that intimate place that you are longing for his embrace. You remember what it was like for him to hold you in that secret place. You remember what it was like when you was to put on the worship music and you would get lost in his presence and you would have that peace of mind. You would come in with anxiety, come in with fear, come in with doubt, come in with uncertainty, but you would get lost in his presence and you would come out and you would have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You wouldn't care what was going on around you because you had been with him and there's that longing in your heart. And just me talking about this today, it's pulling on your heartstrings. It's stirring up the Spirit of God on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you is yearning and saying, yes, that's what I want. I want communion with the Father. I want that secret place. I want that place of devotion. Friends, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to ignore that? Are you going to suppress that? Are you going to say, I'm going to make room for more. I'm going to make room for him. I'm going to go into my secret place. I'm going to shut the doors, shut off the distractions, and I am ready to conceive the miracle that I've been believing for, conceive the breakthrough that I've been believing for, conceive. I want to see the dreams come to pass that I've not seen come to pass. I want to see the vision come to fulfillment that I've not yet seen yet. And you know that the enemy is battling you and you feel this. And I'm telling you, there is this grace that's coming upon you right now. And if you embrace this today, if you'll receive this today, if you'll yield to this today, and you will be obedient to this today, I'm telling you, based not upon my opinion, but based upon the word of God, he says, if you will seek me and search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. He's waiting for you, friend. He's waiting for me. He's waiting for us. We're not waiting for him. He's here. This has been, people have said this for years. I get so sick of hearing that. Well, God, if God shows up today, we might have a move of God today. And hopefully he comes down today and we're waiting on him. No, he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on you. Come on. Do you believe that today? Let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus today, God, I have delivered this word. Lord, I had a whole different word lined up today. I had a whole different message. And this morning, this was burning on my heart this morning. So I believe this is a rhema word for somebody out there. I believe this is a word for all of us in this hour today. Lord, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, would begin to bring to our recollection, bring to our remembrance the nostalgia of getting into your presence and getting into your glory. And Lord, we would stop making excuses of why we can't get into your presence, get into your glory, get into the devotion, get into your prayer, and that we would press through and we would fight and we would contend to conceive and believe and give birth to that which you have put in our heart to believe God for. It doesn't matter who mocks it. For all the Elis that are watching us, that are looking upon us, that's got something negative to say, or doubt or unbelief, or they, whatever the case would be, Lord, we're just going to rebuke them. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. I rebuke every naysayer. I rebuke every negativity. I rebuke every distraction. I rebuke every assignment of hell that would keep you out of the secret place, that would keep us out of the secret place. And Lord, I just thank you today, based upon your word, that when we are obedient to what you have called us to do, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said amen and amen. Guys, listen, we're going to give you some information real quick before we close. If you've not downloaded our free app, again, it's available free. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Listen, you might be new to the broadcast and say, well, this is end times. I thought we was going to get eschatology. I thought we was going to talk about Bible prophecy. I thought we was going to talk about the apocalypse or the tribulation or end time events. Guys, we do talk about that. We talk about that periodically. We talk about prophetic updates. We talk about prophetic viewpoints. But we are led by the Spirit of God. And I believe these messages over the last few days is exactly what I feel is what the people need. So if you're blessed by this ministry and you're encouraged by this ministry, we want to get you an opportunity to get plugged into us. Get the app, download it, available on Apple, available on Android. Get, push yes to push notifications. Get our podcast, listen to them, hear them, get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. Again, if you're blessed, encouraged, informed, transformed by weekly broadcasts from our ministry, we want to give you the opportunity to show your gratitude. And we want to give you an opportunity to partner with us. And you could do that by going to the app or to the main website. You can give electronically or you can give by check or money order. If you wish to give by electronically, you can give on the app or you can give by the main website. You're going to see a place you can click and it's going to take you to a place where you can do that. If you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And again, that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. And as always, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on here and being a part of the broadcast. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Well, listen, we're going to sign off for today. We're going to take off tomorrow. Be back on here, Lord willing, on Thursday with either another encouraging, equipping message like this or a prophetic viewpoint. We will just see what the Lord has in store. But until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. And again, don't forget to subscribe. Hit the yes or hit the bell for push notifications on Rumble, on YouTube. Share this on Facebook or whatever platform you may be watching. So God bless, guys. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.